Good evening. Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm standing in on behalf of Apostle Pastor Hunter for tonight. He is away from his desk. This is Teacher Morticia. I'm pretty sure there's a host. He said that there's someone that's going to be on here live tonight. So if you're in, just go ahead. Good evening, good evening. Hello. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now.
Oh, okay. Could have been my phone. It's been acting up a little bit, so I do apologize for that. Again, my name is Valerie. And I'm bringing a message on tonight. And again, Sister Fishes, a pleasure meeting as people are connecting in.
Okay.
So let me just open up in prayer. Father,
right,
I thank you, Lord. I thank you for tonight, Lord. Father, we invite you, the presence of your Holy Spirit to come, Lord. As we look unto the hills which cometh our help, we know that our help and our strength comes from you, Lord. And Father, we take every opportunity to lift up the name of your Son. We take every opportunity to bring you glory and honor and praise, for you are so worthy, God, of all the glory, of all of the honor, and of all of the praise, Lord God. Father, take control and have your way on tonight. And Father, I pray that the words that you have deposited within my spirit, Father, will go across the airways, Lord God, and go into homes, Lord God, and bring encouragement and healing, Lord God. I pray, Father, for the spirit of unity, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, for everyone under the sound of my voice. I cover each and every family, Father, with the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. Declaring and decreeing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But, Lord, we thank you on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, and I pray that your will be done. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way in the name of your Son, Jesus. I come to you on tonight with words that God has spoken unto me that have been really encouraged me. And how to stand and how to continue to go through. I want to start out reading a poem that was written by this man. His name is Eugene Broxton, and I met him on death row as I was visiting and ministering inside the prison. And he wrote this poem, and he sent it to me, and it's called God. And it goes, I saw God today. He was the clouds moving across the earth. He was not in a hurry and was at peace. I saw God again. He was the ocean and he was the sea, as calm as could be. Tranquility was all around. God was the wind and the sky, as far as human eyes could see. I see God every day. I wonder, did God ever see me? You know, it's easy to praise God when you're on the mountaintops of life, when things seem to be smooth and blessings are overflowing. It's easy to say, thank you, Lord. But what do you do when all hell breaks through in your life without warning? When your laughter suddenly turns to sadness and all you can do is cry. When tragedy hits your family and all you want to do is scream and holler because the grief is more than you can bear. After you've sown into the lives of others and you've given your time, your resources, and you've prayed and interceded on behalf of others, when you've done everything that you know how to do to live righteous and holy and trouble comes your way, what will you do? You're standing in the gap for other people. You've taken care of the sick and you've encouraged the brokenhearted. And others don't understand the sacrifices that you've made for them. And you find yourself feeling some kind of way like no one sees, no one knows, and no one cares. And you start feeling like you're all alone and no one understands. Well, we look to the Word of God and we see that there were others who may have felt that way. I think about this man in the Bible called Job. He lost everything. When the devil went before God and he said he was looking to seek whom he may devour. And God said, have you tried my servant Job? He's an upright man, honorable in all his ways. And God gave Satan permission to try his servant Job. Job lost property. He lost his children. His body was sick and aching with boils and in constant pain. He lived a good life, and he was sheltered, and he stood in the gap for his family, and he stood in the gap for his friends. He was a priest before God, and he loved God with all of his heart. But when Job found himself in a situation, his response was, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He found himself in a grave and strange situation that had been unbeknown to him. Because he lived his life righteously before God. But when trouble came his way, and even his wife tempted him to curse God and die, his response was, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then there was one. There was a situation in the book of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar, the king, built a golden idol of himself, and he wanted the people to worship him, to bow down and worship him. And there was a reference to three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he came before the king, and the king wanted them to bow down and to worship his God, his golden idol. And their response to the king was, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. For you see, the king had threatened them with throwing them in a fiery furnace if they did not bow down to his God. But then they say, but if not, be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These three young boys had a relationship with God, and they refused to bow down to no other God, even if it cost them their very lives. And they told the king, "We know God can deliver us, but even if he don't, we will worship no other God." And you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar threw hotter coals on there in the furnace. They went in bound, but they looked in and they saw them walking around in the midst of the fire. And they saw fourth man in the fire that looked like the Son of God. God was able to deliver. And it seemed rather cruel to have to walk around a fiery furnace. But they said that their clothes wasn't even singed with fire. They were protected by the fire. Because the things that we may look in the natural, and we see tragedy, and we see suffering, and we see torment, may be the very fire of the Spirit that comes to guard and to protect us. And then I want to give you one other example. Jesus, who went to the cross. But before he went into the cross, you know how sometimes you might be going through a situation and you're looking for somebody to stand in the gap with you and to intercede with you and to pray with you. He found himself in the garden asking his friends, "If you will watch with me but 1 hour, pray with me," because he was about to face torment. He knew what was ahead of them. He knew that they were seeking to kill him and to crucify him. And as he wrestled in the garden between his humanity and his spirituality, his holiness, his godliness, struggling from between the natural and the spirit, his friends were asleep. And he was all alone. Three times he went before God. And he asked him, "God, if you can take this cup away from me." And he wrestled with his emotions. He wrestled within himself because he knew what was about to, what faced him. But Christ, our Lord and Savior, said to the Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Sometimes we don't see or we don't understand that on the other side of the suffering, on the other side of the pain, on the other side of the torment, on the other side of disappointment, God has a plan to prosper us, a plan of victory, a plan that if he allows you to go through something, there's a blessing on the other side. Sometimes we give up in the middle of the struggle. And sometimes we give up in the middle of the pain. And sometimes we might go through a day or we might go through a week. And then there are some people who go through years and years and years of being sick and of being in pain. But there is one who was touched by the infirmities of others, who knew our pain before we ever went through it. And this Christ tells us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow after him. So whatever the pain and whatever the struggle, whatever the persecution, whatever the trial, in the midst of the trial, even when you can't do anything but cry and weep because of the pain and because of the disappointment, you can cry out to God. You can lift up your voice unto the heavens and give him worship and give him praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. And he created us to worship. Like I said before, it's easy to say thank you, God, when everything is going well. But when you press in to say thank you in the midst of your trial, when you may have lost a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife to tragedy, to sickness and disease, and thank him anyway. When you're lying on a bed of affliction and your mind is being tormented and you fall into a hole of depression and you can still lift up your eyes unto the hills which come at your help because your help comes from above and you say, thank you, Lord. God, I worship you because you created me to worship you, Lord God, and there's no other God before you. You are sovereign and you are holy, God, and no matter what I'm going through, it doesn't change who you are in my life. And sometimes we may feel like he's abandoned us and we wonder where he is. But you have to remind yourself that he said that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. He's God all by himself. And maybe he said, try my daughter. Try my son. Because I trust what I put on the inside of them. I created them in my image and in my likeness. And I fill them with my Holy Spirit. And even when you don't know how to pray because of the pain and because of the suffering, you have to know that your tears become liquid prayers because God hears the cry of your heart. So when I've been calling out to you, God, and my body is wrecked with pain, and I don't know how to pray in the hour of my brokenness, Lord, turn my tears into worship because I know that you see, and I know that you hear the cry of my heart, and I trust you. If you deliver me from this affliction, or if you don't deliver me from this affliction, oh God, you are still God, and you are still holy, and you are still sovereign, and you're still worthy of glory, and you're still worthy of honor, and you're still worthy of praise because you are my God. Though the pain in my body may be tormenting me, and the pain in my heart and my emotions are screaming louder than my acclamation of faith, God, I worship you. For you said that in my weakness, you are still strong. My life is in your hands. And I lift up my hands to a holy God. in reverence, I give you all that I am and all that I have, my brokenness, my love, my worship. Even though my faith is being tested, as you tested your servant Peter, I choose you, God, for you are good, and you are holy, and you are lovely. You are sovereign, and you are beautiful. You are the author and the finisher of my faith, and your mercies are new every morning. And your grace, oh God, is sufficient for me. Paul said, I know how to be both abased, and I know how to abound. So I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. You are God, and beside you there is none other. The Lord gives, and the Lord take it away. But with every ounce of breath within me, I will glorify you, God. Whatever trial, whatever test, when it looks like there's no way out, all I know is you. And I will continue to hold on to your hand because I know that I am in the palm of your hand. And though the cross may be heavy, Lord, I deny myself to follow after Christ. No greater affliction. Our affliction are light compared to what he suffered for my soul to restore me back unto you, O God. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let us make our request known unto God, for he is holy and he is wonderful and he is mighty and he is so able. And if the enemy comes to destroy us and we feel like we're at the last point of life, remember to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Though our bodies may be racked with pain, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills which cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. I rejoice in him. And I worship him, and I adore him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. With joy, with love, with patience, with faith, in prayer, through hope and trust and faith in a holy God. He who created us is able to keep us. I want to go back to that poem that I read from Eugene. Eugene has been on death row for 40 years for a crime he did not commit. And he wrote this poem 3 years ago when he said, I see you, God. I see you in everything. I see you in the clouds. And I see you moving across the earth. And I see you at peace. And he said, I see God every day. But he wonders if God sees him. We know that God sees everything. And God sees everyone, and he knows who belongs to him. And in this man's distress, he's seeking God. And I had the pleasure and honor of meeting him, and I heard his story. And he told me, he said, I tried Christianity, but I don't know about this God you talk about. And so now he's wondering, God, are you really real? Or are you really who men say you are? Because 40 years of my life has passed away. And I'm locked away in darkness. And I don't see no way out. And then he may even wonder, why is he still buried in this dungeon, in this hole, facing death? And he wrote me a letter. And at the end of the letter, he said, I hope that this God that you serve, this God that you know, will bless you and your family. There's a conviction that we have when we declare to others the love of God. But when they find themselves in desperate situations, and when they're waiting and they don't understand, we have to be able to express the times when we go through, and we have to still show forth God's love and kindness to those who are hurting, to those who are in pain. They must be able to see God through us. And so those times when we are in despair, and those times when we are going through and we're in pain and we're struggling, maybe he's letting us be aware of the pain of somebody else. When he seeks for those who will stand in the gap and build up a hedge, how will we respond? So I believe that one thing that will help us get through when we're feeling all alone and we're feeling like we don't have a friend in the world and nobody seems to care about our hurts and our pain, that we should press in like Christ did in the garden. Until we know that we know that we know that we know that we have touched his heart and we've surrendered to God in worship and in praise and in adoration, surrendering all and saying, God, not my will, but let thy will be done in me and through me. And when his presence comes and his anointing comes, it's for us to bless others. I heard a word in church yesterday from this minister who cannot read or write. And he said, how do you get to heaven? How do you get there? And he said, by helping somebody else. Let us be his feet. And let us be his hands. Let us carry that cross and follow him with all of our heart, with everything in us, in the good times and the bad, because he's looking for those who will worship him. He's looking for those who would trust him. He's looking for those who are willing to lay down their lives for someone else. I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that if you're going through a trial, that you know all you have to do is surrender. All you have to do is worship. All you have to do is praise. When there's no one else but you and God, come into the presence of a holy God and reverence him and turn over your will and lay down your life. For he's ever present and he's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. And
amen.
He's worthy of the praise. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful word tonight. I thank you for coming online and sharing tonight. I'm sure Pastor Hunter would have been excited about being on the phone call. Of course, again, he is out this evening, and I'm covering for him tonight. And we really appreciate just teaching, just a powerful word and a prayer, that it blesses everybody that was on the line tonight.
Well, thank you, Sister Fisher.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Well, I look forward to seeing everybody online again when he's ready to come live. I will let him know how such a blessing it was tonight just to hear and just to hear and to be a witness to what was going on the blog talk show tonight. And I would like to say that I bless everyone greatly that you have rest upon rest that God restores. As he always does, and that he renews, as he always does, and grace and mercy walk with you hand in hand every day.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. And good night.
Good night. And you be blessed as well.
You too.
And bless everyone on the line. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.